Hello. 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 Is anyone? Charles, are you here?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, super. So you deactivated the old silent thing. Okay.
Yes, yeah. I was okay. Disconnected, actually, so I had to reconnect everything. Who is the further? We have someone, I think, from the States.
Yeah, this is Drew. How are you guys?
Hi.
Hello, Drew. How are you doing?
Good.
It's I see only the three of us connected at the moment, so it's a very confidential in the sense that just a few friends conference. Not confidential because it's public anyway. Okay.
What's the agenda? What's the agenda, Italo?
The agenda is but Mark was supposed to be connected, but I don't see him. Who is taking the minutes? And Mark volunteered, but if he's not connected, of course, this is a problem. Then. We have the certification document. I wanted to hear comments and suggestions, but actually we have already talked with you, so I think that Drew can provide his insights on that. And the LibreOffice conference, the marketing track, I wanted to know if there are proposals about marketing track for the conference, if that is something we should cover and something we should not cover. Of course, apart from what is the proposals of speech that will be coming in, but
okay,
I think that we should provide also some general overview of the project in terms of kind of general speech or introductory speech.
Yeah.
Hi, this is
and
Drew.
Then I wanted to organize with a group. As you know, I would like to start pre-briefing the press in July for our announcements, and I wanted to organize this for more or less mid-July, and I think that for briefings we need probably some people that volunteer to attend the pre-briefings, as there will be, I think, at least a few journalists connected, and just to avoid the perception that is one person from the Document Foundation talking to the media. I would like to have some more community representatives, just to make it more real and to offer also the community point of view.
Okay, so that will be in July, right? Because I can put you in touch with the local press manager, and she will be happy to work that out also in coordination with you.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
but Drew, you wanted to say something?
It was about the conference, but it was just going to be a quick question. If you guys want to take a second and talk about that first.
Sure. Okay.
Okay. I noticed there doesn't seem to have been a lot of uptake on the presentation proposals. So
right.
I guess I'm seeing all of them that came in. It's like three or four, right?
Yeah.
And,
yes.
And they're pretty generic.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw that I put a posting to the developers list a couple of days ago. Okay, I'm going to, if nobody has a problem, I'm going to try to keep it humorous, but I'm going to do a few more of those until somebody makes a proposal.
I think you're right, and you know, the other day I had Michael Meeks on instant messaging, and he told me he would also jump in and whip some people.
Yeah, well, I don't, yeah, I'm going to try to do it, you know, very lightly. And the other thing, too. Do you guys, I don't know if this is being done in Europe, do you guys know what a Barcamp is?
Oh, yeah, actually, the location of the conference?
No. It's a type of, okay, go ahead, sorry.
I know. The location of the conference is actually famous because they're the first Barcampers in Europe after San Francisco. So they know exactly what a Barcamp is. They're masters in that. I was thinking about doing something a little bit like that, and I had sort of like to, you know, reach a middle ground. So if you're looking at the tracks or the proposed tracks, there's like one which is we call that a bird of feather, but it's really a bar camp.
Okay, cool. Because I was gonna propose it, but I didn't know how big it is over there. It's pretty big here.
So, I mean, here it's all the rage and fury. But the what I'm trying to get at here is the way I framed it was to take the example of what I saw at FOSDEM, which was hugely popular, and it's very much in the spirit of a barcamp, only it's in one track, because usually a barcamp you would have several rooms, right? And you know, several tracks and people, you know, congregating after an hour and a half or 2 hours. So
right.
That will be just a track. So what we'll be doing is the bar camp in one track, which really means people congregate in one big room, and it's 10 minutes for anyone. You know, you don't have to submit anything. It's 10 minutes for anyone to submit his or her case, point, presentation, issues, itch to scratch, whatever you want. And then somebody else has to jump in. And it's ongoing for 3 days. That's the way it's supposed to, you know, be imagined. I don't know how you feel about that.
I was gonna write up an email and suggest to go a little different way, which was instead of a track, do one day as a bar camp and the other 2 days as a standard conference. But you know what? It's the first conference and you can't do both ways. So go with the way you got and see how it goes. And next year maybe do it another way.
Actually, I think you have a point, Drew. You know what? Here's what I'm going to suggest, because what we're going to propose, if we're going to do this in like a one-day bar camp, I think that what will happen is that many people will actually be very happy with that, you know? And I think we should be waiting for essentially to see the number of conference submissions we'll get. If we don't have enough, or if we feel that it's could be formatted into a 2 days format, then I would very much like to frame this as a bar camp.
Okay. Oh, and that's all. That's really all I had on that. So
on a personal note, I've been into many bar camps, and I just love them. So.
Yeah, I've been to one or two, so I'm just learning to enjoy them. But okay, I'll stop and I'll let Italo go back to where he was going on the agenda there.
Italo?
Yeah, no, sorry. I locked the room, so there's someone that complained that he cannot step in. So I asked through an email. Okay. Because there was Craig that tried and said the room is locked, so I answered this. I sent an email, so the room now is unlocked. It's probably I'm not too familiar with the handling of the conference room with an interface in German. Slightly. Okay. I understand about the certification. I understand that it's the document, so it needs more time. But there have already been a few interesting edits by Jan Lynch, a few comments by Olivier, and I think this is something we have to work quite a lot during the next month. By the way, I think that our objective is to announce it as a real project at the conference.
Okay.
After having got all the comments and all the improvements, I really want to see the document changing a lot, because it's kind of a first proposal, and I think that everyone is really welcome to bring his ideas and even his negative ideas, because it's I think it's a very ambitious project. At the end, it's a challenge, so we have to be very well prepared when we will start it.
Did you want to talk about it now?
If you have comments, of course. Otherwise, I think by the next phone call, the project is going to be open at least open today, because we plan to finalize, I think, in late September.
To finalize the first planning document for this effort. I think it's a pretty aggressive, not aggressive, I think it's a very difficult thing to put together from a couple of standpoints. I think there's a lot of minefields here you're going to have to walk through. And I'll just say that I hope, I read it through, and I've got a lot of questions, and some thoughts, but especially the parts about special deals for VARs, the names of whom right now we don't even disclose. So I mean, we would have to be a different organization than what I thought I was signing up for. So that's, which I'm not saying that's wrong. I think it changes, it's not just one project. This changes who we are. And we may need to do it because I kind of have thought about this in the past. This may be the future of open source software, because we're going into this next phase of the life cycle. You know, we've had 20 years or 10 years, depending how you look at it, and you know, we're starting to mature and realize it's really all about business and not about charity. And that's fine, you know, but I think it's going to have a very radical effect on what the Document Foundation is all about.
I think yes and no, in the sense that I would like to have the real project based on, I mean, it should be seen as a self-sustaining project, not as a project to make money, which is a different story, of course. So it's this is, I think the challenge is really here. So it's to put together an effort that is clear for the outside world, it's clear for the inside world, and it's able to be self-sustaining, because I think that the challenge is to be self-sustaining. Of course, it will make the Document Foundation different from the general free software project, yes, but you know, free software project usually do not have to deal with millions of users, and do not have to deal with the companies implementing thousands of licenses or seats or desktops. And in general, free software projects do not have a competitor who is making $28 billion with the same kind of product.
Okay.
So
I think you and I would just kind of, we would agree to disagree on that, because I don't think we're all that unique. But I want to say again quickly, I'm not saying I'm against this idea at all. I think it's going to be expensive to get it off the ground. So we're really going to need to look at this from a budgetary standpoint, how much money you've got to burn before you start seeing some actual returns. And then I've got some questions about how we deal with the small guy, you know, like the, but we certainly aren't in a position to discuss it on the telephone today. I will try to put something together and send it to you in the emails. And granted, it's a long period of time, but I think it's great. I think it's a good move. I just think it's more than just a project.
Drew, if I may intervene here, I think you're actually right. I think this is going to take some time before we see the effects of that. And I think that the road or the path towards the success on this is indeed going to be an interesting one. What I would like to know is how do you feel we would be a different project from what you envision?
Well, I... Huh? Because we're going to become very... I don't see how this... If this becomes a very large revenue source for us, then... The human nature is you tend to service those that are paying the bills, and I just think we'll have a different focus. You cannot do this. Like if I do this, okay, just.
Scusi, è la terza volta che un call center telecom ci siamo oggi, siamo già clienti.
Guys, can you hold on a minute? I'll be back in just a minute.
Sure.
Are you still there?
Yeah.
That can do as well, so you didn't...
Sorry?
My line was quite poor anyway. So it was quite a lot of noise.
Yeah, sometimes your voice seems to be, like, hashed.
Sorry, guys. Thank you.
No worries. So you were making some actually some good point about, you know, the money and I would say the it's a very strong word, the perversion that goes with it if we rely too much on it. Was that what you were saying?
No, I wouldn't use the word perversion at all.
It's a really strong word, but biased interest.
Right, and I think I think if I try to say it off the top of my head, I'll probably not say what I want, so I'll try to put it in writing and send it in. It's just, like from the standpoint of trying to get folks to help with end-user support and whatnot, I just see a lot of places where it's gonna affect how people perceive us. And I don't think it's going to be more than I think it will be more than just perception. We will have changed, and I think that maybe is a natural progression as far as large open source software projects go. I don't know. I got to think a little bit on that, but I'm very supportive of this. But I've got some real concerns about if we don't approach it right, I can see it becoming.
Problematic, yeah.
Either perversive, either it does pervert us, or it becomes a real big perception problem. So,
I think I would actually agree with you on that. Let me just and Italo, feel free to jump in if you feel that I've forgotten something. But let me just perhaps phrase why. Some of us came with that notion of certification project. At least from a purely European perspective, but, you know, I think we could actually generalize that a little bit over just Europe. You know, what I see in France, at least, is that historically, the Open Office project, and here I'm talking about the Open Office project, has never been successful in building an actual ecosystem of partners and companies. I'm not talking about contributors to the code. I'm talking about the ecosystem. And what, you know, there were several reasons for this, one of which was perhaps the governance of the project, whatever, but there was definitely a problem of mapping out the ecosystem, calling a cat and a dog, and, you know, generally speaking, there were all kinds of companies pretending to sell services and support on OpenOffice. And they were actually quite big sometimes, large IT services companies. And in the end, it was not really helping anybody because these guys had no one really who was actually competent in that. And then the customers got disgruntled. And if for some reason you were having those companies serve large corporations or large users, even large public sector users of OpenOffice, then you had a perception problem, but not on the supplier, but you had a perception problem on the quality of OpenOffice.org as a software. And I think part of the reasoning is to say, well, you know, let's actually map the ecosystem. Let's give a name to companies, and let's make sure that there is a minimum set of criteria that are used to call them, or to yeah, or to to reassure the customers or potential users that these companies are going to be able to deliver specific kind of services with at least a real quality in what they're doing. So I think that's pretty much the starting point of the certification certification. I mean, is that a bit clear? Does it help?
Yeah, I mean, no, I understand. I've actually had the same thoughts, and a few of us on this side of the pond have actually had some conversations that I guess we haven't shared with everybody, kind of along the same similar lines. How do we help build an infrastructure of vendors that actually are, because they have to be able to make money off of implementing upgrades so that they actually have a reason to be involved, because very, very few companies are going to do stuff for altruistic reasons. So you have to just accept that. And I think our, you know, we call it certification. I don't know. It's more of an authorization program, I think. But that's with the certification side to it. I think the business model is going to look a little bit different in Europe than in particularly in the United States. But, you know, I don't know what it would look like in Indonesia or India or something. It might be a little different, too.
How would you, because, you know, I'm really ignorant on these things. I know how the French market, you know, even inside Europe, we're talking about different realities. But I know how the French market differs from the U.S. market in general when it comes to IT. But how would you describe, let's say, the market for service providers on OpenOffice and LibreOffice in the States?
Well, I think the biggest problem here is we don't have, I think one of the differences in the United States, if I understand the European market, the difference is that we sell directly to companies buy directly to provide. They don't go through an intermediary. And,
that is true. It is true. That what you're describing is what is it's how it really works in comparison of France. I don't know about Italy. I know it's pretty much the case in Spain. I know it's less true though in Germany, for instance.
Well, that would make sense. In
Italy, it's mixed.
Okay.
So on the one hand, for example, in my little area, I've got. Every little town has a couple of little PC dealers, and they tend to differentiate themselves. So I've got one guy in town that's kind of our big Linux shop. And then I've got another guy whose real thrust is point of sales. You know, so he runs all the computerized cash registers in town and whatnot. And then we've got another guy who's the Microsoft Gold partner fellow. And then none of them make any money on box sales because that all goes to, you know, Walmart and Best Buy. but I think that's a little different. I don't know that there's going to be a lot of uptake in the U.S. on end user certification, only because I've talked with a couple of guys that have kind of tried to do that, and they just said there's no interest. There wasn't a lot of interest on the Microsoft project, and there was zero interest on the OpenOffice project or on the OpenOffice product because most people quite pay for themselves, and if they got any, they got it through the local community college, and then the employers just aren't going to pay for it. But that's just the one side. And then on the real large sales, you know, to say 1,000 seats or more, the truth is I've just been out of that business long enough now that whatever I might think on that's pretty much worthless. To be honest. And I don't know that we have a lot of government. But there is government interest here. So, you know, that will play into that. But the government guys, in the United States, it's very hard to land a government contract as a prime. Basically, you end up having to be a sub to a prime. And if you're a small player or an entry player, so we might want to try to foster some of that around here. Well, how how do we get you into talking to a TRW or a Northrop Grumman or somebody, because they're usually the primes, or General Electric. General Electric is a huge prime on a lot of government contracts, but they don't actually produce the work. They just hire a bunch of subcontractors to do.
You see, what you're describing, Drew, is actually quite interesting, because that's exactly the way it happens in France for government contractors and large corporations. But as soon as you fall down, let's say, to mid-sized or small-sized public sector, like towns, what we call départements, which are really counties, or you know, small and medium businesses, then you have something which is much more local in general.
Well, here what happens is on a lot of the municipality level, for example, my town, they buy nothing direct. What they've done is they band together with other towns. It's usually happening on IT. It's happening at the county level. And even in my county, since I'm in a rural part of the state, there's five counties here that they buy as a block. And if you're going to approach them on a service contract, they're not going to talk to you on how, you know, the city hall in Cumberland, Maryland. What they'll send you back to, you need to talk with this regional group that handles contracting. So, but if I get into a place like Washington, D.C. or even Frederick, Maryland, which is 1.5 million people, well, they make their own contracts. So,
okay. Frederick, Maryland is 1 million people? Wow.
Yeah, it's probably not that big. I was trying to think of another one. Cincinnati or someplace. Cincinnati, Ohio.
Okay. Okay,
anyway,
so I think you're touching on two very interesting subjects here, because I think you're putting the finger literally where it hurts and where opportunities are. So, you know, I definitely look forward to reading what your thoughts about the certification.
And that's it. I'm done on that. I'll write something up over the next few days.
Okay.
Yeah. Even if it's the next 2 days, Drew, we have time, because I think that we have to play it very carefully. You know, I want to get some momentum on the market and see how the market reacts before we launch the project, because otherwise, of course, the risk is too high. So I want to pre-announce it and say this is a project and we want to understand how many people are interested in and play it this way. I'm sure, because in Italy, Germany and France, there are quite many companies that can fit into this kind of project. And of course, the U.S. is more challenging in a sense. But if you think that in Brazil, Petrobras is 90,000 desktop, and they had a migration project, a complete migration project. So that's, I think that the we have a market, unfortunately, people that are in the market do not realize that they are a part of a market. This is the real problem, because no one in the past has tried to build an ecosystem in a structured way. And where the ecosystem has been built in Europe is because the local association have done it, basically. At the end, this is the reality. It's not been Sun, but is the local association in Germany, in France, and Italy.
Well, Italo, I've heard you say that before, and I think you undervalue the reputation that came along from Sun Microsystems and from Oracle. And
in the States, yes, not in Italy.
So you're telling me in Italy nobody cared that a corporation the size of Sun Microsystems was ultimately behind the product?
it's a different story, Drew. A company like Sun in Italy is, yes, it is a corporation, but it's perceived as being not a local one. It's quite similar to what how Oracle is perceived. It's not perceived as a local company. It's perceived as a U.S. company coming to Italy and trying to pick up as much money from the market as they can. This is unfortunately the reality. I work in a U.S. corporation, and the feeling is this one.
Well, okay, no, I understand. It's called capitalism, and
it's
I'm
not
all
a feeling
for it.
Against the U.S. It's a feeling in a way that this company behave. You know, it's they never behave like they are local companies.
Okay, but that's actually, I think you're getting off on a little tangent. But my point was that when you had a large corporation behind you, even if somebody might say, well, you know, it's a damn American company and we'd rather have Moreni stay here, there's still, I think, I would be hard-pressed to believe that there wasn't some value perceived to having that large a backer. So really, it kind of comes back to when we go into this certification program, the very first question you have to answer is, why is the purchaser going to care? Because, well, you know, are you guys familiar with the Linux LPI certification?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So are you thinking of going? Is that something that you would look at as kind of a maybe not a model for us per se? We would follow them, but it's something we would look at as a model, as one way that it worked, and that's something I think we should look at.
Yes, definitely. I think we had that in mind, at least as an inspiration. So it's a load that I misread what you wanted to do.
No. I mean, it's. I think that we have to pick the best what there is in the market and try to adapt to the market. I understand that in Europe and the U.S. can be very different. But for instance, in Italy, the largest migrations have been done by small companies, and even if Sun was asked, at the end, the end user, a large hospital, the Chamber of Commerce Association, they decided for the small company. Because the small company is perceived as to care more. It's a different, you know, it's a different market, it's a different story. I understand that it may be exactly the opposite in the U.S., and we will have to adapt to what the market is asking, and maybe we are more successful in one area and less in another one. And maybe we are more successful with small and medium companies. I don't know. This is why I think we need a long time to understand better how it happens. You know, the reality is that to bring up Italy as the example, but of course I know my country better than other countries, but when you read IBM guys writing on the Apache mailing list that company will buy OpenOffice from IBM to get support, or Symfony, this is exactly the contrary that happens in Italy. So if they have to buy a product, they buy Microsoft Office. If they go for a free product, they go for OpenOffice with their local supplier or their local consultant. This is the reality. I mean, it's not, and it's based on probably 5 million users in Italy, so not on a handful of people. And I think that France and Germany are quite similar. By the way, in France you have a free software company that is making several million euros in terms of turnover. I don't remember. It's where Sophie was used to work.
Well, they didn't make that much, but now I think you'd be surprised to know there are two others. One of them grew organically. It's led by a couple of financial, you know, people who've been working in finances, and they've literally been buying little companies by little companies to form a huge group now, and they're into the million. There's another one called Smile. They just bought two companies in Spain, and so it's not just that company, Tolo. But where I would disagree with you is in France, actually, the situation is a little bit different because in France, and I know this might actually surprise Drew, in France, especially in large corporations and the public sector, at least to a certain extent, you do have the cult of when it comes to IT, oh, well, when it's done in America and when it's made in America, then it's better. So actually, you will have a tendency to be willing to choose the American supplier. However, what is really, really special in France is that what Drew was talking about when he was saying that the prime level contractor covering essentially everything, I think in France it just has become a disease because there's really this is not free market. This has stopped being a free market. This has become a revenue generating scheme by three companies, and the rest are just cracked up suppliers. Trying to get their way in because purchasing, public purchasing processes and also large purchasing are done in such a way that, you know, it's all about never taking risk, and therefore you will always aim for the mediocre stuff, but you will always aim for the company who has lawyers and the good ones. So that I think that's where it differs from Italy.
Yeah, I would also say a lot of what you're talking about now, or what we're talking about, is I'm not so sure that it's a difference in regionalism as it is in difference in business models. You know, there's a direct sales business model and there's channel sales.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we're definitely going to be 100%, I assume, 100% channel. And here, it's the, you know, like I said, I've got a small guy in town. He's the gold level Microsoft value-added reseller. And so you a guy that just wants a copy of Microsoft Office because he's a single office, he just goes to Best Buy and buys himself a copy of, you know, Microsoft Office off the shelf. But I've got a local company that does inbound sales for, you know, on contract. So they've got a couple of hundred people on the phones and their administrative staff. Now they do buy Microsoft Office through the local VAR because they expect some actual hands-on support, and they realize, you know, we don't have a problem. We don't expect somebody to come from Redmond, Washington, to handle the problem in Frostburg, Maryland. They expect the local VAR to handle the problem in Frostburg, Maryland. That's why he's the local VAR. So, you know, I don't think there's a big problem there. That's how people perceive things anyway. We're lucky in that we wouldn't have, you know, one of the big problems that a lot of companies have is when direct sales compete with channel sales. So you know, Oracle's had that problem in the past, and we wouldn't have that. But see, even already I guess my next question would be, I would prefer to see it that we strictly are talking about a certification that says, you know, we've offered a class, you take a test, you get a certificate. I'm not so sure that I like it if we get too much into telling them what their business model looks like. You know, that's their job to decide how they supply services. Now, we may decide, well, we're getting a lot of complaints from somebody, so you're not doing a good job and you're making us look bad, and so we don't want to continue our relationship with you. But I don't think we have any we really have any business telling them what their business model looks like. I think we should stick to we teach a set of knowledge about our product, and we test you, and we give a certification that says, you know, you passed that test, and therefore you can call yourself whatever, and you know, a professional on this whether it's say network installation of LibreOffice in a networked environment or something, or certified to do tested for building add-ons or something. I'm not sure how you're envisioning this is going to break down that way, but at that point, I would say we're basically out of their business. Their business is now to go off and make money with that, and as long as they're not being unscrupulous, we don't really have anything to say.
So just to go back and then we'll try to discuss your question. Just to go back on the other one, I think we can phrase this challenge, so to speak, as to say that there will be differences of scale that we'll have to adapt to. And between the guy who actually runs the small local company or store and the large corporations, I think we can agree on that. I'm not trying to enunciate a solution. I'm just enunciating a problem.
I'd like to just say too. I mentioned my guy in town here. That's the Linux shop, and he has forever had an open office label stuck in the corner of his front window. And I would love to I would love to add a LibreOffice label to his window. And what he does is when he sells a system, unless you tell him not to, unless you tell him not to, he's going to put OpenOffice. Well, actually, I just talked with him. He's now going to put LibreOffice on those systems he sells to people, whether it's Linux or Windows. He puts a copy of the free open source Office package on there, unless they bought Microsoft Office. And I'm not so. I don't think if that's all he's doing, I don't think we have a revenue source there. We need to have a way to have a gratis on this too. We just say, look, you know, we want you to distribute as many copies as you can, and we're happy you do. Some of this I read about some of the stuff about a fee for any use of the logo. Then the first question that came to my mind was, I read that, how does that fit in, for example, with our policy that had a community's logo that you can just do anything you want with and the official logo? And so this little guy that's a system var in a little town that just when he sells systems, he puts it on there. He's not really trying to offer second line support at all. I don't see a place where we charge him for that, or I don't even necessarily see a place where we certify anything. It was just we want him to do that, right?
I guess I see it from. Okay, it's a good one actually.
I agree, and I mean what we can maybe tell this guy is that. If he follows one of our trainings, at this time for free, he may understand that he's able to build a business out of installing LibreOffice on some PCs.
Well, but it's not a revenue source for him. It's just he does it as a convenience to his customer. And
He does not provide support to these customers, of course, because that will be expensive for him. And of course, then it's if he has small and medium businesses clients, maybe with these clients he can sell some services. I don't know. I mean, of course, there are so many differences that we will not be able to cover everything. And
Well, he also. I mean, when you're selling into that market, he doesn't. He makes most of his money doing network support and system maintenance. And basically, here every place I've gone to. And we're not talking about thousands, but I've talked with, I don't know, a couple of dozen, I guess, over the last few years. They've all mixed their business models now. If they used to be a system vendor, they're now system vendors and they do mobile communications and they make a lot of money off the mobile communication stuff. But he doesn't support Microsoft Office. If you buy Microsoft Office from him, you don't call him with a question. I mean, he just sold you a copy of Microsoft Office. And if he gives you a free copy of LibreOffice, he doesn't expect to field a question beyond, you know, something maybe a little complimentary as far as just an installation or something. But beyond that, he, just like the guy that bought Microsoft Office, expects to go and find support online, the guy that has LibreOffice expects to go support online. So I just think we need to be sure that we don't lose this idea that we are still a free office software, that we want a lot of people to give it out free and maybe this really does come back to, if I put a label in his window and he's just giving it out free, it's a community logo, and if he's gone through a training course, whether he wants to sell that knowledge or whether he just wants to have it so that he can answer a few questions better, then maybe we let them have the official logo. I don't know. Maybe that's all the difference is.
No, of course.
I wouldn't go to saying give them free training either. I think in the kind of an organization where we're all volunteers and we're all, or volunteer is not a good word, most people aren't, it's not like an employment situation. You need to have this ability to still be doing free stuff so that you don't end up feeling, I can see from folks that do end user support, if we have this large model with lots of VARs making money off of it, a lot of them are just, if we're actually offering free support, then it's going to filter back and they're going to start saying, well, I'm doing all this free support so somebody else can make money. Because the guys at the forums, they're not in the business. They're not there to make money. They're truly charitable. They don't have a problem being called servants, and they don't have a problem saying that they're giving away their time for nothing. And in fact, during the conversations that we had about web forums, when the point was coming up, well, we don't like web forums because you don't generate enough contributors. One of the points that kept coming up was, but generating contributors is just our form of getting paid, and we're not about getting paid. We're about giving support to the end user, period. And the guys that do that, they do it for free. They don't expect anything back. And just like Norbert doesn't want to work on code that some company might go off and make money on, turning it proprietary, I don't think they're going to want to give support if they feel that a lot of little small vendors are now using them to give that first line support that they're getting paid for. Do you understand where I'm at on that?
Sure. No, of course, there are many, many things to look at and before we can start the program, in order to avoid misunderstandings and confusions, of course. And this is a reason, this again is a reason why we don't want to make it, we discussed it quite extensively in the past, but of course we have a vision that is quite specific from our experience, and we want to gather experiences from all over the world and make it really something that can help us in be self-sustaining and help the market to grow and the ecosystem to grow. If that is, this is not possible, I mean, it's, we don't have shareholders, so we can say we have tried, it wasn't working, we don't launch the project.
Well, again, I'll just go back to what I said in the beginning. I think it's a very bold proposition. I think it's something that, if we do it right, is a very good thing to do. I just think it's going to be a lot of thought and a lot of work to get it launched properly. But is well worth whatever the effort is needed.
You know, I think that it's a challenge for everyone. And but I think that, you know, challenges is what makes at least myself willing to do this kind of activity. Otherwise, I wouldn't do that. It's not easy, I know. We all know it's not easy. It's not going to be easy at all. But on the other hand, if we succeed, it's really something new.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Anyway, it was very useful, Drew. Very useful to talk. It's always useful to talk to you, by the way. And sometimes I will come and visit you. I've seen your town on Google Maps, and seems quite a lovely place to stay.
Yeah, there's no work here, but it's a great, it's a fun little town. Well, actually, we're getting some IT work now, but there's an interesting thing happening in the U.S. A lot of companies are actually moving to small towns so that they can pay a lower income because they're selling. You need to get talent out of college, and now they're trying to sell it on quality of life versus
exactly quality of life is becoming an asset. Okay.
Okay. Shall we, Italo? Shall we adjourn, or do you have anything else?
Yeah, I think it was very fruitful. Thank you, Drew, and we will adjourn, and I will probably make some comments because I need to improve the program as much as we can.
Can I ask, feel free to
drop your thoughts, even in a very random way, okay?
Okay. Can I ask a question, though, before we hang up? Is there any movement on a budget for events, like upcoming Linux festivals and whatnot? Has there been anything done on that? Or are we still running on we're all paying our own way and I got to figure out how to come up with whatever for swag and stuff?
Actually, there is some budget, but the problem is that at the moment, until we don't know the expenses we need to incorporate and pay all the bills with the lawyers that are working on that, we may have some problems. But I think that we have definitely, Charles, we have definitely to discuss how to spend at least a couple of thousands euros, because I don't think that a couple of thousands euros is going to change a lot what we have.
Yeah, and I think that what's going on is that there are two levels. There are still two levels, and I think that we're going to resume to one level in, you know, a month or a month and a half maximum. Because every time we're talking about this, Drew, and I get, you know, and I will get the same issue here with the LibreOffice conference, except I'm raising money so that we can be very autonomous from the Document Foundation to have no problem of that sort. The thing is that the Document Foundation, still being legally in the hands of the German Association, the German Association has a charity status, which makes it sometimes quite difficult to justify the purpose of a payment. So that is the first level, and I think it should, you know, once we will be fully set up, we will not have to deal with that problem. But anyway, there remains a need to have a full budget commission or budget officer, financial officer, and I think that as soon as let me try to investigate what, at least for the first time a volunteer could be working with the board of directors and soon the executive director to set up a real budget come up with a budget approval subcommittee or something like that, and make sure that the response times can also be satisfactorily fast.
Okay, sounds good. And I think that's it for me. I saw that Carl was going to come, and I know that he wanted to talk about whether anything was up with OSCON. I was hoping to hear if there was anything on his side on that, but
you want to ask Simon Fitz on that?
I don't know if you know, Charles. We sent some email to somebody at O'Reilly, and I carbon copied Italo on that. I still haven't seen anything back on them, but and then this idea of the Hackfest. But
he
actually
answered now. If you look at your email, it should be in your email now. The O'Reilly answer.
Oh, cool. I'll do that. Oh yeah, that's I see it. That's good. So, I mean, I'd love to have Carl say hello, but it'd be nice, I guess, to have Simon say hello too. So,
I thought that Simon is planning on going to OSCON. So, he's a regular guest there.
Okay. I have to leave now, sorry.
Okay.
We schedule, because the room was locked, and we may schedule another call in a short time. I'll talk with
Claudia.
Okay,
well, that's fine. Well, it was nice talking to both of you.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.